Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Syrupcast, Mobile Syrup's Canadian tech-focused podcast. I'm Patrick O'Rourke, and Brad Bennett, a man who is holding a MacBook over his head on camera, I think. He's the bad boy of tech. That's what he calls himself. I don't know if it's accurate,
but he's across the internet from me. Today.
Yeah, shill. An Apple shill. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah. Didn't mean to come across so Apple-like. I was like, oh, we're talking about Apple stuff today. I'm going to just hold this over my head right in the intro. And I was, as soon as I did, I was like, that's not going to come across great on camera.
Just get one of those, like, you know, when you buy an iPhone and there's like an Apple sticker in it, just like stick it on your forehead the entire podcast.
I always think about going back. I mean, I think you saw that joke up on Twitter, like almost like a year ago, of that fake AirPlay tattoo on my neck. And I always think about doing that for real.
There's that, I should not bring this up because I can't remember his name. The character on Euphoria, who's also an artist, has
the Apple logo tattooed
on his
Dominic
face.
Oh, Dominic Fike.
Dominic Fike. And anyways, I had to bring that up as the ultimate Apple shill move, which I don't think he is. I think he just did it.
I think his brother's name is Apple or something. It's like related to that, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
But it is like the Apple logo. It's, you know, I'm pretty sure that's the bite out of it. It's there.
But that's it. That's all that we're doing on the podcast today. It's Brad.
Celebrity tattoos.
Yeah, we're talking about celebrity tattoos. That's the whole episode. Mm-hmm. We don't have a third person on the podcast because the team's really busy. So we're going to have a more intimate conversation about two topics in tech, which means that we're also going to skip the hottest news of the week this week. We're going to try a bit of a different format. Let us know what you think of it. We're going to try to just like straight up jump right into the topics worth discussing. And the first thing that we're going to go over is the fact that Chrome OS is sort of coming to Mac. It
totally is. 100% is here. Well, no, it's not. 99% it's here.
So what does that mean? Like, what is, like, when you told me that this is something you wanted to talk about, I was straight up mad confused. Like, it didn't make sense to me, period.
I think it's just exciting. I don't know. I just wanted to talk about it because I think, like, Chrome OS doesn't get enough, like, light shed on it online. It's, like, a very legitimate operating system. I know that's, like, not exactly as good as, or not nearly as good as Mac, Windows, Linux, whatever, but I think it's a totally viable operating system for like 80% of the world's population at home, at least. Maybe not at work, but like everyone in my family member who doesn't really use a computer for work just has a Chromebook and is fine, you know? So I thought it was an interesting thing to talk about for like that reason, but it's interesting from a tech perspective because it means this old 2016 MacBook Pro can now be a Chromebook, and that actually makes it like the best Chromebook ever. It's like the world's best Chromebook potentially because it's like a legitimate processor and good RAM and in an aluminum shell with like cooling and a good keyboard and trackpad. It's kind of sick. Although I will admit that the beta I have running off of this SD card is a little janky. So I had to use a mouse and a keyboard plugged into this. I couldn't use the like built-in laptop keyboard when I was running it. Which was really annoying, but I'm hoping once it gets out of beta that that'll be better. I haven't run it on a Windows machine yet either, or like a Windows laptop to see if it would support those built-in keyboards and trackpads, but I think it would. I'm assuming there's better support on the Windows side.
So taking a step back, this is basically Chrome OS now being capable of running on a Mac or a Windows PC, like any Mac or Windows base.
Yeah, so PC, it's been available for a while through this service called Cloud Ready, I believe.
Okay.
I think it was owned by like Neverware, but maybe I'm just like making that up. Anyway, that doesn't really matter. But Cloud Ready made this service that allowed you to like bootleg, get Chrome OS on old laptops. And it was angled a lot for education because there's a way to like, you know, kids just need Chromebooks to browse the web and do research and things and write Word documents. So getting these older Windows computers just onto Chrome makes them feel faster. And that's a way to like save millions of computers from landfills, potentially. We're all hoping that that's happening. I don't know if it's actually happening, but that's like the biggest thing
that's
to
a cool
gain
idea
from this. It's just like saving old computers from landfills by turning them into Chromebooks.
In theory, could I turn my 12-inch MacBook from like 2015 or 24. I guess it's from 2015 actually. Yeah. Could I turn that into a Chromebook?
Potentially. There might be some hardware issues. So there's a list of like compatible devices so far, and it's mostly Windows computers. And even a lot of the Apple ones were called like Apple Pro something, like not even like, you know, and there was like Apple Pro 13 or okay. Apple Mac this. And like the names were kind of weird. So I wasn't exactly sure like what was supported and what wasn't supported yet. Like this is still in beta, I guess. So potentially by the time it rolls out for real to everyone, I think they... what's the word I'm looking for? The compatibility list will be more accurate. Although knowing Google, that could be a little hit and miss, but I'm hoping it'll be more like ironed out by that point. But yeah, in theory, that means that that old MacBook that you probably can't run anymore because it's not getting updated to macOS and it just feels really slow. There's a big chance that you could put Chrome OS on it and it would feel a lot faster. I will say that when I did have this like hooked up, it was feeling very smooth. Like it was janky because I was using like a plugged in keyboard on top of the old laptop keyboard and whatnot, but it felt fine. It looked scaled well ish
is the OS running off the SD card, or is it like installed directly on the hard drive? Like how does... well, I guess what I'm really asking is like, what does the installation process look like? Is it something like my mom could do, or is it like mad complicated?
It's not mad complicated. I don't know if I'd bring it all the way down to mom level, although I think your mom is like fairly tech savvy. So I think your mom specifically could pull this off, but I don't know if everybody's mom could.
She knows more about Android than me at this point.
Yeah, it was really simple. Basically, you just need like, I think an 8 GB SD card, or not SD card, a memory drive or an SD card. I mean, I use an SD card plugged into a little reader here. You can't really see that, but that's what this is, just because all my memory cards are like 2 GB for some reason. But anyway.
Yeah, me too.
But that's just because I'm demoing it. If you wanted to turn this into real, you could get this to boot from Chrome OS on the hard drive
okay. every time. So if you want it to be like a more permanent situation, you could just install it directly on the hard drive.
Exactly. Which I'm thinking I might do. I don't know. I'm thinking about like seeing if I can find like a really cheap laptop on Kijiji or something to just do like a video about like how old a laptop can I bring back to life with this.
That's
just
a cool
because
idea.
Of honestly to settle my own curiosity if I can find a laptop for like less than $100. But yeah, it's pretty cool. And I'm trying to think about... oh, the other thing I want to... the last thing, I guess, is there are some caveats.
Okay, caveat.
So, yeah, you can't get into the Chrome Web Store. Or no, you can get into Chrome Web Store. You can run Chrome apps, but you can't run Android apps. So that's like kind of a half caveat because most modern Chromebooks can run Android apps. Probably going back about like 3 or 4 years, I would guess. Do you think that seems like an accurate guess?
When did Android apps? I would say, yeah.
It's been a while. So there are still some Chromebooks that can't, so it kind of puts it in that camp. And there are a few other things, I believe, on like the IT side where you would have to like incorporate this a little differently if you were like running a school-based IT thing.
I still really like Chrome OS in general. I wish I had a more reliable Chrome OS laptop available to me. I had... what was the last one that came out? The Pixelbook Go. I think I reviewed it for the site. I gave it a pretty positive review.
Yeah, that's...
but I gave it to my mom. My mom uses it all the time.
Alex is using it right now. She returned her MacBook Pro today.
Did she?
Yeah, we had talked about this separately. Just to catch everyone up. My girlfriend bought a MacBook Pro similar to me. It just wasn't really running good. She had a MacBook Air M1 before the new MacBook Pro, and she found that one was better. So she returned it and is going to hopefully get another one in like 3 weeks or a month. Who knows how long it takes to ship them now, but yeah. So she's back.
Yeah, on you guys have had a lot of issues with the new Pro.
Yeah. I've seen some other like talks about it online too, of people just saying like it's been a weird year for Apple like reliability, but I don't know if that's just like me cherry picking those things because it happened to me, but weird tech stuff is happening to me all year. I mean, we've got this Samsung phone here for
that reason. Anecdotally, yeah, well, we should talk about that after the Apple stuff. Anecdotally, you're the only person that I've seen have issues with it, but I also haven't actively like sought out someone having like some kind of throttling problem or thermal issue with the new Pro. Like I just haven't seen any headlines on any of the big tech sites or some of the smaller blogs.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's reports out there. These things don't just happen to one person.
Yeah, all of our stuff is weird too. Like it's not things that like completely handicap the computers. It was just like you see so much promise about it, and like I can say for sure that this new one that I have is way faster than the one I had before. Like I couldn't even run 4K footage for a timeline before, but it's like...
yeah, you showed me.
It's hard to even tell if those issues were software or hardware. Like, it's just laptops and Apple. It's very confusing. But yeah, either way, if they break again, potentially we can run Chrome OS on them, to just bring that full circle.
Imagine running like a 2021 Mac Pro and you just run Chrome OS on it straight up. It's a Chrome OS box with an M1 chip and everything.
That's what I should do for the video. Maybe that's more entertaining than buying like a $100 laptop.
Could you do that though? Does it work on the M1? My guess is that like it wouldn't.
Put that in my ideas list.
My guess is that there's no way it would be cool.
Probably doesn't. But yeah, but like you have to go into like the BIOS, like the boot menu, and like choose to boot from Chrome OS.
So it is a little bit more complicated than just like plug and play.
Yeah, but to get into the BIOS and the boot menus are a bit different on M series computers too, right? Like to reset
it,
like hold things. So
you hold down the Apple. Hold down the Apple button, I think. The Apple button, the on switch, on off switch.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Does M1 work with Chrome OS Flex?
My guess is it doesn't, but who knows?
Okay. No, for sure. That's something to test.
Any other final thoughts on the Chrome OS Mac PC thing? It seems cool. It's like a good idea for like repurposing old computers. I would 100% do that if it is capable of running on the little baby 12-inch Mac, which is like such a nice looking device. I would do that.
Beautiful.
Just turn it into like a Chrome based browser machine.
Right, because it's like it's just turning all these like, because Macs like they lose their value because of what's inside them. Like the chips get slower, but the hardware is always so good. So if you can just like refresh that into a little Chromebook, that'd be sweet. Or even like, I know Apple would never do this, but if they could just get like iPad OS on there, so it's running real light and you can just use it with the mouse and keyboard, that'd be pretty funny too.
So interestingly, you bringing up the like whole iPad OS, Mac OS differentiation thing. There's that device that I wrote about today. Apple's rumored to be working on, I forgot what the screen size was. Where do I have it? A 20-inch foldable that's kind of like a 2-in-1 Surface. The report's like a little shady and it's a little weird, but it is from supply chain
supply chain consultants
Ross Young, who's like a pretty reliable analyst, and there's usually some level of truth to what he's saying. Perhaps they're not entirely accurate predictions or whatever, but there's always like some level of truth to it. And like reading, I didn't write this in the news post because it was very much just a rewrite of a Tom's Guide story. But like thinking back now, I think that maybe that could be the device that blurs the lines between Mac OS and iPad OS. Like that's what it sounds like.
It would be
a hybrid device. Like the idea is that
what would it run if it didn't? Yeah, you're right.
It would have to.
You can put Mac OS on it. Yeah,
it folds. It has a touchscreen. It's kind of unclear based on the report, like what the folding actually looks like, but it also turns into like an external monitor that you could then attach like a smart keyboard to and whatever. Anyways, this wasn't something we planned to talk about, but I just wanted to mention it because it does sound like that could be that device.
Well, we're talking about Apple rumors. I mean, this is rumors. The foldable stuff's been going on for a long time. And to be honest, the foldable stuff has been going on for so long that wasn't really interesting to me. And then as soon as you were like, but this could blur the line between the OSs, I was like instantly like peaked. I was like, oh yeah, you're right. Like they will have to do something quite revolutionary. Not all of that's, I'm probably overselling it there, but they're gonna have to do something to like mix them up to do a device like this, which would probably, there's, well, I guess just to round out this leak post that we're talking about, they're saying it's potentially coming in like late 2023 or 2024, but I wouldn't even expect it that soon. I don't think Apple strategy needs a shake up that soon. I think they're putting too much on the M series stuff right
this
now.
This leak specifically says that it was planned for 2025, but that it's more likely for 2026 and 2027, which like I just assume I'll be dead by 2027. So I won't be covering that one. But that's like so far out. Like actually, like I'm joking, but that's quite a while from now. That's down the line.
Yeah. But what are we expecting to actually see at the event, do you think?
Before we get to that, let's hit like a very, very super quick ad break, and then we'll talk about Apple's upcoming March.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So yeah, just to recap it, Apple has an event coming. We don't necessarily know exactly when it's going to be. I think the rumor is March 8th. There's a couple things that we're expecting to see for certain. So we're going to see a new iPad Air. This is going to be like not an incredibly exciting refresh of the Air. That happened with the last version of it where we got a more iPad Pro like Air. It's got the squared off sides. It's got the...
I think the cool colors. Probably get new cool colors.
There could be new colors. Yes, that's true. The side fingerprint sensor. That was the first time we saw the side fingerprint sensor in an Apple device. And then we saw that appear again with the iPad Mini, right? Which you reviewed for the site. Yep.
Yeah, the Mini is basically like a shrunken down Air. But the weirdest part about the Mini was it came out after the Air. It's sort of marketed as being below the Air, but had a more powerful chip.
It was a weird time.
So I think this Air updating to that more powerful chipset or something even... a step above what the Mini has, I think makes a lot of
it's
sense.
It's going to have the A15 is what I expect. I think Apple's going to keep the M1 or the M1 Pro or the M1 Max if we do see those in a tablet down the line. Those are going to be kept for the iPad Pro. They're not going to put it in the Air. But other than that, I expected it to be the exact same tablet, which at the time when it came out, I called like Apple's best all-around tablet offering, like if you're considering price and features and everything. Obviously, the iPad Pro is better. Like it's a better device, but just being more price conscious, there was like a lot that the Air offered, even when compared to the Pro. Like it was almost pretty comparable features across the board. We're going to see that almost nearly 100% because it's long overdue for an update. And then we're also going to see the third gen iPhone SE.
I want to get into the SE a lot, but... Do you think, just before we leave the iPad Air, you think we're just getting a chip bump? Do you think they throw like an extra camera in or something?
I think you could see...
Amazon keeps calling me.
I wonder what they're calling you.
There's a delivery dude at my house.
I don't know what they would change. Like, I mean, they could put the LiDAR sensor in it, but I don't see that happening. I honestly think it's going to be pretty much the exact same tablet that we've seen in the past. Like, I don't think there's going to be any significant changes to it. It's going to be like a pretty pedestrian processor bump. I don't see camera changes coming.
Yeah, maybe new screens. Maybe this is like the differentiating factor is they bring like the high-end screens or like ProMotion to it or something.
They could bring ProMotion. That's possible. Yeah, I could see that happening.
Yeah.
But yeah,
and they really hype it up as like a drawing device, maybe.
Could be something. There'll be new colors. I know we already mentioned that. Like, I don't know what.
Okay, here's a question actually about the colors. Do you think an entirely new slate of hues, like obviously they've done yellows before, but do you think we'll get a new flavor of yellow, or do you think they'll match either like you know the iPhone 13 line or the iMac line? Like they'll pick from an existing sort of pool of Apple colors, or do you think we're gonna get like
brand? I think it'll be an existing pool, but. Variations of that pool, like it'll be close to like for example the iMac yellow or whatever, but it'll be slightly different, so it won't look entirely identical, but it'll still be all those same that same array of colors, because I think they want to keep some level of uniformity to it. But also, like,
I hope they
the phones are aren't the same really colors do, as the iMacs, right? Like, so they could go totally
other and way. The iPads have been kind of different. The iPad Mini had like a different color and only one color. We've been talking about it for years, like you and I, and on this podcast. But we're all holding out hope for a colorful MacBook Air to just like really tie in like Apple's base model MacBook color. Air, be so products sick. Are colorful, and the Pros are silver and gray. And it's just like, I don't know why Apple hasn't done that yet. They kind of have, but they've never like fully 100% committed to it. And I think I would sleep better if they did. I would get a restful night if I knew Johnny Ive's dreams had been just like fully realized.
Such a different Apple without him, which we'll get into. Like, there's so many things that just never would have happened on his watch.
You're right. Maybe that's why, like, the question I just asked you, like, oh, they used colors, but, like, asking about Apple using different colors before into the Johnny Ive world would be like, ha. No, there's like a 10% chance there's a color. Johnny Ive doesn't, I don't think he sees color.
Or even
he sees everything in gray.
Or even like the new MacBook Pro, like we were talking this about it before we started recording, like from a utility perspective.
Oh, getting thicker. Oh, yeah.
Just in general, like the Pro is sick. It's like what everybody always wanted. It has an HDMI port.
Yeah,
it has all the USB ports you want, USB-C ports you want. USB-A is not back.
SD card slot.
But I don't think...
Good cooling.
I don't think the argument for USB-A coming back really make sense in 2022 or even 2021. Like USB-C is pretty common now. Like just get an adapter if you still have older devices.
I think USB is dead.
Yeah. Back in like 2015 when Apple first made the Switch, it was more of like it was a little too much too soon. And yeah, like you mentioned the SD card slot, but it's chunky. It's like a chunky laptop. It's not sleek. It has like,
there's even something about the keyboard being deeper. Like those presses are satisfying, but the thinner, lighter travel at the time, it was like, it felt futuristic. It was like, I'm living in the future and I don't need to type as much. I don't need to press as hard.
I love the butterfly keyboard because I'm in the future. Like I did have issues with it.
Lack of it.
Yeah, you had the most issues of anybody.
Actually. I've had issues with this Pro, but you had issues with the butterfly keyboard.
And I was cleaning it all the time and it still would break. I like even got it.
The nightmares in your
eyes. Yeah, I got it replaced a bunch of times. I'm having flashbacks now. It was awful. But if they found it, like I know the keyboard had to change. Like it had to change. Like they just couldn't make it work. There was like three generations of it. There's ones with like a silicone coating. They like tried changing the keycaps a little bit. Like nothing worked. 100% nothing worked.
They were getting like a bad reputation for it. They had to change the name, the brand.
It's one of the biggest disasters in Apple history. And like they kind of just swept it under the rug. Like every single laptop that was sold during that period suffered from some sort of an issue. And they never like completely admitted to it. They had a repair program that was relatively streamlined. Like I got mine repaired. But even the third gen version that they dropped into laptops, like it's still messed up all the time. But yeah, I agree with you. Like I did really like that keyboard. I like the lower key travel. It felt futuristic. Yeah. It felt like what I knew Apple as, and it felt like the future of laptops, like in a way. And it was like kind of exciting to think about. And I think you said this before we started recording, like laptops are so thin now. What are they going to look like in 5 years? It's 5 years later now.
And like we were saying that in 2016. Yeah,
and now we're back, right? We're back to like these thicker devices. And I know that it's got everything everybody wants. And I know that things kind of had to go in this direction, especially because of all the mistakes Apple made with that Pro from 2016.
And we should say, like, we both have the new Pros and we love
them. Yeah, I like it. It's sick. I gave it like, I don't, what was my score? I'm going to look it up. I gave it like a stellar review.
I don't know, probably a 9. I legit bought one. My girlfriend bought one. Like we had issues, but like it's the computer to buy in terms of like price to performance.
Especially with the new chips.
Value is not the right word, but you get the like if you're video or doing video or photos, like having that like color accurate screen baked in there is so nice. Like, that to me was like the biggest thing.
Yeah, I gave it a 9 out of 10. It was like near perfect for me, but there's no getting around the fact that it's a chunky laptop that doesn't look as futuristic or as sleek as the previous ones.
Yeah, and I get it, but yeah, it's almost like they misled us with the M1. They were like, we've created the chip with like all the power consumption, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, it's cool. They did do that. Like, there's no denying that they've created this chip with like lower power consumption to performance ratios than what Intel was doing at the time. Although I believe the gap is closing quite quickly. But then, you know, we expect when they announced it in like the Air, the iPad Pro and the 13-inch MacBook Pro and the Mac Mini, I believe. And then the iMac actually came out ultra thin as well. We were like, whoa, how thin are these new Pros going to be? And they redesigned them and they were like, we added 6 millimeters, which again, nothing. We're not really complaining about it, but it
genuinely
was just
shocking to see.
Didn't necessarily feel futuristic. Yeah. And last night when I was running Chrome OS on this 2016 MacBook Pro, it felt more futuristic than that Mac. And that's how we started talking about this earlier. But yeah, it was like running Chrome OS on this super old 2016 MacBook Pro, thin, like 4 USB ports, because like that's the port of the future, you know? Like it's just a weird thing to talk about. But I guess that's our side tangent for this episode.
We'll
get back into the iPhone
SE. We'll talk more about the MacBook stuff in a little bit. But yeah, the iPhone SE. It's always like a fascinating device. I've done like all of our SE reviews over the years, like from the more squared off like iPhone 4 like one to the last two that are pretty much just an iPhone 8. It's such a fascinating device to me because it's truly like the spare parts bin of Apple products. And I thought that like the spare parts bin was like slowly getting empty and they were running out of the Touch ID button and like the iPhone 8 like design. But if these rumors are true,
how many of those did Johnny Ive back?
He's got a lot of them. He's really like
they're just sitting in a warehouse full of Touch ID buttons.
Yeah, because like that's what this is going to be again. It's going to be the same phone that we saw in 2020, which I know there's an audience for out there. Like I know people still like that physical. It's not totally physical because it's haptic, but they still like that Touch ID button. They like the size of the phone. They're not mad about the bezels. They just want an iPhone that works. I know there's an audience out there for it. Because Apple wouldn't be making it if there wasn't. but part of me still wishes that this phone was more than just like a new processor. Like I wish they took parts from the XR, the colors from the XR. That was like one of my favorite like entry level iPhones back in the day, which I'm saying back in the day, wasn't that long ago. It was just a couple of years ago.
Was it 4 years?
I think it was roughly 3 years? 3-4 years at this point.
11, 12, 13 XR. Jeez.
But it would have been cool to see them do something different. Anyway. Just not the same iPhone 8. Cause that's essentially what it is. It's just an iPhone 8 with an A15 chip.
Well, let's be clear. We don't know yet. We're heavily speculating that it will continue. And the rumors are all pointing us that it will still be the home button, but
it could be different.
You know, I'm a believer, Pat. I'm looking at the world with a glass half full.
I just like get rid of the home button. Give it like reduced bezels. Put that A15 chip in it. Make it a little bit chunkier than the current iPhone. Keep that rounded design that people like. Like it could be a really cool device. And I think what we're going to get is something that's like pretty expected and pretty pedestrian at the same time.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like what would be a reasonable, because they still sell the 11, right? Is that like the mid-range iPhone right now? Am I crazy? I'm
not sure what they still sell.
Because they sold the XR for
Still sell the, so it's the 11. Yeah, this is how it usually works. So they still sell the 11. They still sell the 2020 SE, the 12, and then the 13. So it's usually the last three generations are around. And then there's the SE like kind of coming up from behind.
Mm-hmm. Well, the SE and the 11 are both running A13 chips right now. So the new SE would move up to an
A15. It'd be a jump, for sure. A jump in hardware power.
Yeah. No. I'm just trying to think of like if you put, like how much do you have to limit the chip and the camera performance to put the bigger screen in it before it starts cannibalizing Apple's other markets, you know? Because it's like you could put the A16 in it, put in the iPhone 11 body, but then it's just like, what do they sell? Like they can't sell an iPhone 12. Next year, they can't sell the iPhone 12 next year as that low cost one because the SE will actually be better than it, which is what we want and what we deserve. But Apple's not gonna they don't give us what we
deserve. One of the funnest things to do when I'm reviewing the SE phones is doing benchmarks because the screen is so resolution. Mm-hmm. And like that's another thing that they should 100% upgrade in the SE is like put in a higher resolution display, like stop putting in the same iPhone 8 screen. But because of that lower resolution, the phone ends up benchmarking like crazy high. Like it typically has less RAM in it, which is a thing that Apple never talks about in its specs. So it doesn't,
RAM doesn't exist.
Yeah. RAM doesn't exist. It's just the phones are powered by fairies and magic dust. But yeah, it always benchmarks really
powered
good.
By hard work and attention to font.
Attention to font detail.
The fact that they benchmark so punch so high above the weight class makes me kind of always want one. Like I'm a person of like my review perspectives kind of go between like three minds where I'm like trying to think of like my mom is the everyday person being like one perspective. My perspective, which would be like if I was buying something, trying to get like the most price performance and value out of it possible. And then also like, I think this is why I'm good at my job, but like the huge gadget nerd perspective that just loves every single gadget that comes out. So it's like, I always want the 13 Pro or the biggest iPhone with the most features, blah, 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 because a gadget nerd Brad wants that. But price to performance Brad is like, whoa, $400 top of the line iPhone chip, pretty decent camera. And it's like this big just seems like it's almost like impulse buy territory where I just want to have one and just like never put a case on it and not give a thought to or care about it. Just be like, this is my like burner.
That would be cool.
And I know that's terrible. But I just like, I love the idea that you could get so much phone for like a third of the price of a regular phone. You know, I think that's coming across as me being like wasting technology and like destroying things that aren't like, it's not that way. I just like, I love the value of it. I want to get the maximum out of it. Like I want to use it as hardcore as I would use a 13 Pro and just try to get maximum value out of it. You know?
So those are the two things that we think we're going to see at the March 8th event for certain, which again, like Apple hasn't confirmed the event. We don't know any of this for sure. But rumors point to like us seeing an Air and an iPhone SE. And then there's other stuff that's come out.
An iPad Air.
iPad Air to be specific. And then there's other rumors that have come out sourced from Bloomberg's Mark Gurman, who is like the ultimate source of Apple leaks. He's been around forever at this point. Was like a child prodigy leaker back in the day. And now works for Bloomberg and is still dropping that knowledge. And there's a lot of...
Have you seen King Richard?
Sorry?
Have you seen King Richard yet? Oh, it's about like Venus and Serena Williams, but it's about their dad raising.
Oh, I haven't seen it, but I know it is.
I'm just imagining Mark Gurman's dad just like having him over a laptop, like, you will get these.
Find the leaks.
You'll figure it out. Yeah, and the movie's not like that. Richard apparently was a really nice guy, but a hard worker. I don't know. It's a good movie, but yeah, just imagine him like just as a child prodigy leaker, like a whiplash over the piano, but it's a laptop.
Sorry, it could be. It could be.
Who knows? Get that out there.
But yeah, there was a report that came out through his Power On newsletter that there'll be 7 Macs coming in the next year. 7 new Macs. I think we'll see them. Maybe not in the next year. And I don't know if we're going to see any at this particular event. The one Mac that I think might appear is the Mac Mini. And my expectation is that it'll be the same Mac Mini, no design changes, maybe some changes with the port, something like that. Apple sometimes shakes that up, but it'll be powered.
I heard they're going to put flames on
that
the side.
That would be sick, like the Hot Wheels computer.
Yeah. Bingo.
It's just blue with flames.
Yeah. And one Max inside, twice as fast.
It's going to have the rumor is that it's going to have the Pro or the Max chip in it, which makes sense to me. That's the only Mac that I see showing up.
That would actually be a great budget buy if they price it well.
My brother actually... Like,
you get a lot of performance out of a Mac Mini with an M1 Pro or Mac.
My brother bought a Mac Mini, a refurbished Mac Mini that he just runs on like a regular monitor because it's one of the best. If you want an M1 chip and you already got like a Bluetooth keyboard and mouse and everything ready to go, it's one of the best deals around, like for a computer, just period, bar none.
And like if you have the right setup too, I remember this is getting kind of niche, but if you have the right setup too, you can like mount them to the back of the display. It becomes like very seamless if it's like against a wall. It's not as pretty as an iMac, but they're small, like way smaller than a Windows PC tower, which I love that about them.
So yeah, that's what I think we're going to see. There's also rumors about like a 27-inch iMac Pro. I don't think that's going to happen at this event. I don't know even really what to expect from it. Like I think it's going to look like the 24-inch iMac just in less cool colors with possibly an M2 chip. That's my expectation.
You think they would wait till the M2 to put that out? They wouldn't put it on M1 Pro? Or
they might. I just...
Yeah, I could see that. No, because if they save until the second half of the year, I think they would have to
put that's what M2 I'm thinking. Yeah, I think it's going to come out in the second half of the year and that they're going to have to put the M2 in it just because it's so far from the M1 Pro and Max release. And I don't expect it to be that much different from the iMac. Like, the 24-inch iMac. Like, I think it'll be the same thing. Fancier chips, less colorful. I hope they change stuff. I hope it has, like, reduced bezels because, like, I'm glancing back at the yellow iMac. It's nice, but if they reduce those bezels, it would be even nicer, and it'd be cool to see that in a Pro version.
Yeah, I think the Pro version would need it. I think, like, the fact that they reduced the bezels so much in the MacBook makes me think that they know people want it, right?
Yep.
Like they know that the big bezels is not a great look. The big white bezels on the iMac were very intentional, but I'm really hoping they don't do that with like
that's my biggest issue.
That'd be crazy.
Like I don't really the bezels aren't that big. Like it was a little over exaggerated by some people that reviewed it, but the fact that they were white was pretty distracting. Like it just like you see them, like you're always staring at them, or at least that's what I found when I was using one.
I haven't used one, so I won't speak too much, but I don't think it's necessarily about like being that annoyed by them while you're using the computer. I'm sure you just like the notch and everything, you get used to it, but it's just like we know they don't have to be this big. Like we know you have the technology, Apple. You could have really stretched this out and that would have been also very premium looking, we think. But yeah, so you said you think there's going to be, or Mark Gurman thinks there's going to be 7 new Macs.
Not at this event, so but like
right now,
some of them.
No, I know. Throughout
some
the year,
of them might
I'm
be
just
revealed.
Like rallying up where we are.
Some
so
of them might be revealed at a different event later in the year. But in general, there will be 7 new Macs this year. One of them being like a refreshed entry level 13-inch MacBook Pro.
That's what I was going to ask you about. Like, do you think that's coming for real? I do not.
I think that Apple is just going to get rid of that laptop. Like, I don't think that category exists anymore. That's my perspective. It's not based on anything other than like covering the industry and like for this long. Like, I don't have any rumors or leaks or anything like that. I don't think it needs to exist, right? Like, I know it's there still now because they were manufacturing them and then they brought out the Pro and whatever. They got to sell whatever stock's left. But I just don't see it. Like I truly don't see it coming back in a different way. Like people are talking about there'll be like a revamped version of it that's like something in between the 14-inch and the 13-inch in terms of design with no touch bar, and like I just don't see it happening. I don't think it needs to exist. I don't know why it would exist. It just complicates Apple's lineup.
It's like the same computer. I think both of us, I guess, are on the same page about it disappearing. Like, it doesn't make sense. Yeah. If the MacBook Air is there running the same chip, the exact same chip with pretty much very similar performance, and then the 14-inch Pro is right there, it just seems unlikely. Although it does fill a nice gap price-wise. So what I'm expecting is the new M2 MacBook Air gets a redesign. Yes. Better thermal management somehow. Hopefully not a fan, but better thermal management somehow.
Be a fan.
It goes up like $500. Yeah. It goes up like $500. And then that just sort of like fills that gap in between Air and 13-inch Pro. And then that fills the like regular consumer gap. Because right now I see the price gap between the 14-inch and the 13, or the 14-inch and the Air filled by the 13-inch. But I think that's if you're just looking at the price gap now. And Apple's not looking at that as a price gap. They're looking at it as like a price ladder. And they're just like climbing it to make their products more expensive year after year after year. We see it with everything. So, you know, they're not going to make a 13-inch to make laptops cheaper. Laptops are just getting more expensive from Apple, unfortunately. You know, I think the M1s were such a good deal because they were the first in a lineup. Apple had to prove that they could offer like crazy good value. But I think they're just going to get more expensive.
I'm interested to see what they do with the new Air. Like, it's not going to be at this event, so I'll preface it with that. Like, I think they'll do like the Air is so popular.
Later half of the year,
it'll be later in the year, and it may be.
You think it would get its
own event? Its own event, because the Air is so popular. Like, people were still buying the old school. Like, I knew people that bought up like 2 MacBook Airs just so that they had extra ones on tap if their other one broke when Apple discontinued it. Like, people are so like the old Air with like the MagSafe that stuff.
I think I have one once.
I have one somewhere. It was like my first Mac that I got in like 2011 or 2012 or something like that. There you go. There it is.
You know what they need to bring back? Actually,
is that that's the old one? Is that the old one with MagSafe or is that the USB-C one?
MagSafe. Okay. This is like a 2011. Okay,
so it is the old one.
Yeah, you recognize these.
The lovely chrome bezels or brushed aluminum bezels.
Yeah. I kind of like them. This is actually nice too.
It's nice. It's still nice, like a decade later.
But yeah, I want the light up logo to come back. That's what they should have brought back in these like retro M1 Pro ones. I also brought my little MacBook up.
That was a baby, the 12-inch. I'm excited to see what they do with the Air because I think it's one of the most important laptops that Apple has in its category, in that category, because it's always like it's hit the right price point in terms of pricing. I think it lost its way a little bit with the Intel ones that featured that redesign from a couple years ago. I think now that Apple has its own chips, it can come back to being like what the MacBook was in the early 2010s, like the one that you're showing off, like the 2011. And I'm excited to see it get like a different design with an M2 chip, hopefully, or the M1 Pro or the M1 Max, something like that. But I don't know what it's going to look like. I want to see, but what I do want to see is a different design, different colors. Like, that's what I'd like, is something that's a little more colorful and interesting, because it's always been Apple's more like fun laptop.
Yeah. And all the things that they offer in colors, they still often have a white or a silver or a black or some dark navy, something very, approachable, so I don't think it's too big of an issue. But yeah, I'd expect it to be the M2. I think the way that they've been doing the M rollout so far, it makes a lot of sense to go in like the MacBook Air as like the M1 version, and then, you know, half a year goes by, they can refine on it, add more GPUs. I mean, they've probably already done that half a year before, but you know, for us, half a year goes by, and then they release the M2 Pro in like. Yeah, actually, I mean, like, logically, now that we've sort of, like, talked this all out, it would make sense. And this is, like, I'm saying logically, but I mean logically in my own head, just based on our conversations. I mean, from what we know, this isn't what's going to be happening. But, yeah, it would make sense to do the MacBook, or not the MacBook, the Mac Mini with the M1 Pro and M1 Max chips first, get that refreshed. Then sometime in the summer, maybe around, like, WWDC, because that's, like, I feel like the M2 MacBook Air would be the perfect like developer laptop too. And then like sometime in the summer do that. And then in the winter or fall do the 27-inch iMac Pro with the M2 Pro chip. And like that's how you would stage those new chips going.
I agree that with that, but I think that they might reveal the 27-inch Pro, iMac Pro at WWDC. Because whether or not it's true, they Apple would view that internally as like a device for developers, right? Like for professionals. So there's right. a possibility they might drop that in the summer at in that WWDC window, or at least show it off first at WWDC and get people hyped about it, and then maybe drop it at a later date. Because they do have a history of doing that. Like they did that with the HomePod and other stuff.
They just haven't done a new computer with an old chip. They haven't done like they haven't done a new computer launch
without a new chip,
without being alongside a new chip launch in a while. So I'd expect the MacBook Mini is kind of a write off, kind of like don't really fit into this plan. But it's like they might not even appear. To be honest, like we might not get new Mac Minis until the M2. It's
possible.
Like who knows what that's are, but yeah, so much speculation.
And then,
but yeah, I put my money down on the Air coming first. With an M2,
you think
27-inch iMac?
You think the Air is first before anything?
No. Like I like Air in the summer, maybe Minis at this event, but either Minis or nothing, and then Air in the summer, and then iMac after.
I think that's possible about how it'll play out. The only other stuff that we've seen rumors about, and like these are things that I 100% do not think will appear at this event, but the possibility of a cheaper Pro Display XDR. Which has me excited.
What do you think is cheaper for Pro Display XDR? Like $2,000?
Yeah, when $1, I say cheaper, I mean like still way more money than I would ever spend on
the original
monitor.
Is what, 15 grand?
The Pro Display XDR?
$9,000?
I'm going to look this up. Someone's going to complain probably in the comments that I don't have the cost of the Pro Display XDR just like on tap, stapled to my
I have it
wall.
Tattooed on my back, but I can't see it here without a mirror.
I'm trying to find it on Apple's website. Pro Display XDR cost.
They buried
it's like 5k.
No, it's more. It's gonna be more.
Yeah, it's like 5k.
I think it's really okay. Yeah, it might. Maybe I'm just mixing it up with the like
starts Mac, at or the I, Mac. It starts at $6,299 for the one that doesn't have the nano textured glass.
All right, I'll give it to you. That's
so
5K.
With that in mind,
the cheaper version would
1,500
yeah.
something like that.
Yeah, and what is it? It's just the same screen technology you think that's in the new MacBook Pros.
Basically, yeah, 120 hertz.
Does that make the old Pro Display XDR irrelevant, though?
No, there's like I don't want to get into it because I don't know a lot about the Pro Display XDR, but there's a lot going on behind the scenes with the Pro XDR about like color and like dark zones and lots of stuff that's like, to be honest, well beyond me because that thing's like not designed for like I know a lot of YouTubers use it. But it's not even designed for stuff like that. Yeah, like the idea behind the Pro Display XDR and like not denying that it's not.
But we've seen the reports from The Verge where like it still has the same blooming issues and like the blooming issues might actually be better on the Pros because they're like smaller scale.
What I was going to say is just it's not like for a regular person. Like I know YouTubers get it, but it's like it's for Disney to buy like 15 of them. That's why when the price came out and everyone was like going crazy over it, I was like, well, this is not for you. Like Apple's not telling you to go out and buy a $6,000 monitor. Like.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have even launched this at a consumer event in some sense anyways.
I you're right. They definitely shouldn't have, but from a marketing perspective,
they wanted to get hype behind
it. All that Mac Pro stuff was headlines and it was hype.
So but yeah, my guess is it'll be about $1,500. It'll be very similar to the current Mac Pro's display in terms of quality. It'll have the 120 hertz. I'm hoping that it has stuff like HDMI 2.1, like I don't know if this is coming, but we have seen rumors about Apple building an external display for like 3 years at this point. So that leads me to believe that there has to be some level of truth to it, like a cheaper external display. I know the Pro Display XDR already exists.
Yeah. It just seems like a market they could easily get into and make money in. So it's weird that they're not there.
I could see it happening.
Do you think there's anything wacky in it though? Like built-in webcam or like the cable is like locked into it like the HomePod where you can't like take the cable out of the device or anything like weird
maybe
like
they
or like you have to even at $1,500 you got to buy the stand separate like any of those weird quirks you think
I don't think there would be
just a random shot in the dark.
I don't think there'd be anything like a stand like a $1,500 stand like we saw with the Pro Display XDR. Again, that was like I'm not saying that's not crazy like people are gonna jump in the comments and be like you're like an Apple shill, you think that's worth it, but like that stands
well no it, that $1,500 stand was,
that stand's not for you tough. Dude, that's like Disney buys 10,000 of those monitors and then they also buy like 10,000 stands, like that's just like a blip on the dot for their budget for the year. And I just keep using Disney as an example because that was like one of the companies that was actually buying them.
Well, they have the money to like not notice.
They're not for regular people.
And they are a huge production.
But for the,
it's a good example.
For the like, for this one, if it does exist, I could see it having the same like kind of breakaway cord situation that the new iMac has on the back.
I hope so. That'd be cool. The magnet part. Yeah.
Trying to think if there would be anything else. It might have a built-in webcam, but I don't.
I think they would do the webcam to help justify the cost for regular consumers. I think throw that in there because they don't even use good webcams. It's like jam one in there, you know? Because like if you're using that display for your Mac Mini or something, I think like that's how they'll be marketing it for your Mac.
That is what they'll do.
iMac. Or maybe not. Maybe they'll be marketing it as a sidekick for your MacBook Pro or something. Who knows? And then the webcam.
If it's
last, but yeah, I guess let's move on. We got anything else to speculate about, or do you have anything else to say?
One last thing. All I was going to say is, shit, I lost my train of thought. If it does exist and it does feature HDMI 2.1 and 120 hertz screen, and it could do like everything that I need it to do, like be a great HDR monitor, I could use it for gaming. I would be okay with spending that much on one because I'm looking for like a new monitor. I want one that supports 120 hertz and they're just so much money right now. But if Apple were to release one, I would be like a little more confident in getting it because I know it would work well with my MacBook. And I would assume that it would work with gaming stuff too if it has HDMI 2.1 as a console gamer. Like I know on PC getting 120 hertz is different. You can do it through DisplayPort and stuff like that. But yeah, I was just going to say, like, I would consider actually buying one. Like, I am looking for a new monitor that features that higher display resolution. But in terms of, like, just to wrap it up, like, in terms of other things that are coming out, like, there's a possibility that we could see an M1 Mac Pro. The expectation is that it'll feature the same, like, kind of not as bad as people presented it to be cheese grater design. Like when you see that in person, and I made this argument like several years ago when I was at the reveal.
Oh, I don't think anyone thinks it's like terrible. It's just like
funny. It is. Yeah, it's funny, but there was like a contingent of people that thought it was like absolutely ridiculous, and like it kind of is. Yeah, that's fair. But it also kind of looks pretty cool when you see it in person, and you can see like the intricacies.
I kind of like the industrialness.
That's what I like. Yeah. That's what I said. Like when it came out.
Yeah.
That's the only other thing. That's the last thing is we might see an M1 powered Mac Pro, but it'll have like 15 M1 Pro, not 15, but like four M1.
That'd be hilarious. That'd be though. Sick. Like you're just like, there's like GPU like cards that you're just slotting in. They're just 15 like M1 Pros.
All 15 M1 Pros in like, a Mac Pro.
15 M1 Pro card.
But that's the rumor is that it would have multiple chips in it to justify the cost of it. And I don't think we're going to see that. If we do, it would be at WWDC or something developer focused. They're not going to show that off at this event.
In my sort of like timeline that I've planned in my head throughout this episode. So if you've been listening, you know, but I'm thinking we get M2 Air this year, the M2 Pro 27-inch iMac, and then we get like M3 Air next year or like M3 iPad M3. Pro or something, like some device to go M3. Well, next year they'll do M3, I think, right? Like, and I think the M3 level is when they'll put it in the Mac Pro.
Yeah, I think that's a fair timeline.
Like I think they would start with... like, because I think that's the top of the Apple computer pyramid. I don't know if you can see me on camera, but that's the top of the Apple computer pyramid. So I think we build up.
It's the last one to year
to get there. Yeah, and it's like they can't release it and have a situation like we talked about with the iPad Air and the iPad Mini last year, where it's like, wow, they put out the iPad Air, it's nice, and then like 6 months later they put out a smaller version that's even more powerful with a newer chip, because it's like that could happen if they put like an M1 Pro. In the Mac Pro, they're going to put out the M2 like 6 months later, or like some, you know, they couldn't do it this year before the M2.
They'd have to give
out
at least a little bit of space. Or,
I think so. By that same logic, they could do it at the end of the year with like an M2 Pro perhaps, but I think they would be more inclined with the M2 Pro in the 27-inch iMac.
Anything's possible. So I think that's probably...
Hire me, Apple. Business strategy.
You're the new business strategy
expert. Bradness strategy. Yeah.
So I think that's probably a good place to wrap it up. I guess we'll still go through the games that we've been playing. I'm taking a break from Halo Infinite because I have played that game for, I think the last time I checked, 7 hours since it came out on like December 12th. Sorry, not 7 hours. Seven days. 7 days in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm taking a break from it. They're resetting ranked. all of my ranks are gone.
You're just like, I played for 7 days. Look off into the like distance, like, wow, seven. Yeah, I'm gonna take a break.
Taking a break from it. Didn't play it all. We had an extra long weekend at work, which was super nice because I needed to unplug for a bit. And super yeah, nice. I didn't really play much. Infinite maybe played one or two games. And they're resetting the ranks, I guess, is that what I was getting at before. And that's what I play. I play ranked Halo. I was like Diamond 4. It was the highest I was able to get. Really trying to get to that Onyx as a 33-year-old man is a near impossible task.
Is it the highest level, Onyx?
Yeah, there's like levels within Onyx. There's like pros are like 2,500 and it starts at 1,500 CSR. I won't get into it, but like that is the highest level.
Jeez.
But yeah, I'm just a couple levels away from it and couldn't quite get there, and now they're resetting the ranks, so I'll let it ride out for a bit and let people get to whatever rank they're supposed to be, and then I'll start grinding that again. Also, the game, there's just not a hell of a lot to do in it right now. Like, I'm max level 100. I've done all of the events. I think there's an event coming back this week, Fractured Tenrai, but it's like all the armor for like the samurai suit that I don't care about.
How many maps are in there?
It's not a lot.
I mean, I feel like over 7 days you're getting, yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of maps, which I thought was okay, but if I'd played for 7 days, I'm getting pretty bored of it.
Especially in ranked, there's even less maps, right? Because it's all about competitive. Really?
Right, they're the smaller.
I just got really into it.
Is there DLC plans? No, it's a good game. Is there DLC plans?
There must be. There's going to be stuff coming in season 2, right? Which is only a couple months away at this point. But the expectation...
But will it be maps or just like more armor skins?
Nobody knows, right? Like, the expectation is that the next couple months is just going to be like fixes. Like, there's issues with desync. There's all kinds of problems with the game. But I am shocked that I got as into it as I did. It was like all I did.
I'm really proud of you for getting that high into rank, because every time we talk about Halo, you'd be like, my Halo career is done if only I was 12. But you did it, like, as a 33-year-old man. 33?
Yeah. Close. 33. Close.
Close to Onyx. As a 33-year-old man, you fucking did it, you know? Like, you broke through that glass ceiling.
I did want to make Onyx. That was like my ultimate goal, and we'll see. Maybe when they reset the ranks, I'll be able to make it happen. But it's supposed to be more difficult. They've changed it so that the expectation is that I'm diamond. The expectation is that I'll be platinum 4. You'll be like one rank lower because the distribution was off. We'll see how it plays out. But this weekend, didn't play any Infinite. I played a game called Triangle Strategy on the Switch from Square Enix. A lot like Final Fantasy Tactics. It's the type of game that I grew up playing a ton as a kid on Game Boy Advance. I played
amazing art style,
super cool art style. Really weird game, even for like a Japanese developed RPG, where there's like, so this demo is 6 hours long. And quite honestly, there is only 3 battles in it in that 6 hours. It's all this conjecture and like setting up the story. And then there's like these weird sequences where like you have to convince people on your team to like take a certain stance on a trip that you're going on, so that you like go in that direction in the game instead of the other. There's like way more to it than just the battling, which I was surprised about, and it was kind of nice to see in a kind of like more tactical RPG.
I think they started to lean into more like Fire Emblem Three.
That's
Houses,
what it's like. It's like that. So it's a lot like Fire Emblem Three Houses.
Trying to infiltrate the genre.
Yeah, I'm pretty. I'm cool. Probably gonna buy it. I'm pretty impressed with it so far. One thing I'll say is the voice acting is god awful. Like, it's so bad that it's funny. I typically play the game, I gotta see if there's a way to turn it off, because like it ruins it for me. Like, some of the characters are interesting and the writing isn't that bad, but like when you hear the voices, it just takes you out of it. I'm probably gonna buy it next week when it comes out. Pretty impressed with it. Have you been playing anything? I know you haven't been gaming lately.
A little bit, actually. I think it was Friday night Alex and I played like Grand Theft Auto until like
the remakes
6 a.m No, GTA 5. Oh, nice. She'd never played it. So I tried the remake of GTA 3 and I just was not super into it. I don't have much of an affiliation for those ones because I didn't grow up with them as much. Although I really do like the aesthetic of Vice City, so I'd like to go back and play that one. But we have GTA 5 on the Xbox One, so we were just like, let's play that. And Alex never played it, so we just like crushed the story in there for a while. And it was nice to like play GTA again with someone that had never played it. It's one of my favorite games in like university, high school. So just like to come in fresh again and just like kind of like watch Alex experience. It was really nice.
Just so that I can feel super old, did GTA 5 come out when you were in high school?
Yep.
Great. Cool.
Yep. I think it came out near the end.
GTA
And then because the remake came out.
The remake on the next the last gen consoles that were current gen at the time.
Yeah.
GTA.
Is there another remake coming out for the newer Xbox Series X and PlayStation
5? Yeah, the GTA 5. They're going to re-release it, so it's been across three console generations.
But is it getting like any enhancements?
I don't think so. I think it's pretty much the same game. Maybe like some
that's
like
fine.
60 frames per probably second. Wouldn't that pay sort for of it stuff.
Again anyway. But
The only thing I was going to say before we close out was like, so for me, the GTA that I played the most was Grand Theft Auto 3. Like I remember when it came out on PC because I never owned a PlayStation console. So it came out on PC and my parents' computer wasn't quite good enough to run it. It only had like 16 gigs of RAM or something, and GTA 3
wouldn't have been gigs at that time.
16 megabytes of RAM. Yeah, you're right. And it required like 32 megabits or something like that. So I actually bought it. I installed it. I played it and I beat it like probably running at something like 24 frames per second, maybe even less sometimes, where like sometimes the game was like Max Payne style in slow motion. And I beat it. I finished it. I like got super into the modding scene where I would like install crazy mods and like custom skins and like, I was really into it.
That's not helping your
run. No, it did. It didn't help it run. But yeah, GTA 3 is my thing. And I actually thought about buying the remakes, like when it was coming out again, like the remake of GTA 3, Vice City, San Andreas, and didn't because they got such a poor reception.
And they're probably one of those things that like you just, it came out and you're like, I think I'll wait.
That's what I did.
I'm gonna get this really cheap.
I'll wait till they come out.
So. Yeah, but it's exciting. Oh, the last thing I wanted to talk about, we hinted at it, we forgot, but this.
Oh, yeah.
Boy. And I'm for the audio listeners, I'm holding up a Samsung Galaxy S22 Ultra with a look of sadness on my face.
Explain why quickly.
But, yeah, so basically this is what happened. The Samsung Galaxy S22 Ultra came out. It's a busy day. We're all trying to write lots of news about it. And Patrick puts in the chat, hey, seeing some reports of people unable to buy the phone, like they're getting to the checkout bin, it's not working. And I was like, my credit's not bad right now. I'll do it. And so I ordered one and I was like, well, the phone's not coming out for 2 weeks. Like, surely I'll be able to cancel this order between then and now. And I did twice. I went online once. Well, actually three times. Went online once, had to wait 3.5 hours for chat support. Didn't follow that through. Left, waited a few days, called Samsung. Canceled my pre-order, didn't get a confirmation email, called them again the next day. That person was like, yeah, we can see it on our end that, well, if we put in the request to cancel in, I'll put in another one. I've marked it urgent, blah, blah, blah. At this point, we're still like 4 days out from the release of the, well, we're still the 4 days out from now, I guess, because the phone actually doesn't release until Friday, but I have it. And like, I bought this. This isn't a mobile syrup,
Brad. He purchases a regular man.
I'm a regular human being who bought this and Samsung delivered it to my house a week early and I attempted to cancel it still twice. Because I didn't want this phone. I just was trying to test that, like, if... I was just trying to test to see if, like, other consumers were having being able to, like, buy or
which we do all the
website
time.
Was crashing. Yeah, it happens all the time. And, like, usually you cancel them, no problem. This one didn't happen, so now I'm sitting here with an S22 Ultra, filmed a little unboxing earlier, probably write a little blog post about this experience. I've done some camera tests and a little walk, but yeah, it's been a, oh yeah, my mic is sitting
on the box.
S22 Ultra box.
The ultimate stand.
Yeah, well, it's a good height actually, this little thinner box. No charger in the box, we'll say that.
But a nice ringtone that I hear frequently.
I don't know how to turn it off. I keep thinking I've got it off because it came on mid-podcast and I like tried to turn it off because Amazon was like, gone. Somebody just messaged me. Is your application package gone?
It's gone. Okay, I'll wrap it up. That's it. Thanks for listening to the Syrupcast. You can find me on Twitter at @Patrick_Rourke and of course on mobilesyrup.com. Bennett, where can people find you?
You can find me on mobilesyrup.com, living in the Samsung Dexverse for the next little bit, I guess. MobileSurf.com, MobileSurf's YouTube channel. Actually, you won't see me on the channel this week. It will be Dean because he did a review of the actual S20. Many calls. I never get this many calls. The actual review of the S22 Ultra, which will go up on our YouTube. And then you'll see me here Well, I guess this will be on YouTube too. So you'll see me around all the Mobile Swerve channels, and you can follow me anywhere at the Brad Fed.
And as always, you can find all of our content on mobilesyrup.com and also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Mobile Syrup. See ya.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.